scripture reading is from 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, verses 23 to 26. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes."
There is just something about the words we just heard read, isn't there? The words that we refer to as the words of institution. These old words that Paul received from the Lord and he now hands on to each one of us. I hear them and I immediately feel comfort, peace, hope, and I know that I am home. Having been born into the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, I've often wondered, how many times have I heard these words? We hear them every Sunday, and with some variation on any given Sunday. And since it is World Communion Sunday, it almost seems as if these words have been read, so let's skip the sermon and go right to communion. While I know that would probably please many of you, it is important that we are true to the text that we have before us, and believe you me, Paul offers these words in the midst of one of his so-called sermons. It appears that the members of the church in Corinth have had some issues about being church that Paul is addressing in this letter to them. Some of what they are doing, Paul is very pleased with, but there are probably more things, more behaviors with which Paul is not pleased. Worship practices have caught Paul's attention. He's very happy that the Corinthians are holding true to tradition by continuing the Lord's Supper, but he is not very happy about the way they are partaking of the Lord's Supper. The early church, and still the Lord's Supper is a problem. In fact, Paul is really upset with the Corinthians here. Remember that the Lord's Supper was a true meal in the early church. The breaking of bread and the drinking of cup were also surrounded by a feast, sort of like what we have on our table. People gathered together as the church to share a meal in every sense of the word. In Corinth, though, the sharing of the meal has turned, well, into a meal for the elite and wealthy, with the poor getting cold leftovers. It is such a serious problem that Paul tells them that when you come together, it is not really to eat the Lord's Supper. In other words, yours is not the supper of the Lord. Some people are arriving early and going ahead and eating and drinking. They have their choice of the best food and the best drink. And some are getting drunk. Some eat more than their fair share. The lower class, the poorer members of the congregation show up later, and they literally get cold leftovers with nothing to drink. A group of the faith community, a group of the body of Christ has eaten without them, eaten to their heart's content, and then some, had enough to drink that they are drunk, and then the rest of the body of Christ shows up. Paul says, "In following this worship practice, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. Do you not have homes to eat and drink in?" I just love Paul. Can't you hear him? "Don't you have homes to go to? Or do you show contempt for the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What should I say to you? Should I commend you? In this matter, I do not commend you." Wow. Paul is not happy with the Corinthians. Right after his tirade against their behavior come these words that offer us so much hope. In the midst of Paul letting the Corinthians have it for being gluttons and drunkards and not being the body of Christ, Paul says, "For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you." We receive in the midst of Paul being very upset. So what does Paul want the Corinthians to do to fix this?
Well, he wants us to examine ourselves. Paul wants us to discern the body of Christ. So then when we come together to eat, we wait till everyone is there. If you are hungry, eat at home, for the Lord's Supper is about the whole body of Christ, not about our individual stomachs. Paul says, when we come together to eat, we wait. Back in July, we had a meal after worship that kicked off our Mission at Our Doorstep week. We invited Lynn Peterson of Community Emergency Services, which we affectionately call CES, to come and speak to us about the work of CES before we began our mission work for that week. In planning for that meal, Lynn suggested that a woman who volunteers with CES named Maria cook the meal for us. Now, for those of us who were able to stay after worship that day, it was a wonderful meal. Maria prepared everything from scratch. She took incredible care with the preparations and made sure that the food was hot and delicious by the time it got to us. She also had her son help her bring the food and to oversee that we got more than enough to eat. Of course, it being a Sunday, we were on a schedule, right? We know we've got worship from this time to this time. Then we've got to leave, we've got to gather in the fellowship area, but then we have lives, we've got other things we have to do. Well, the meal started late, and Lynn still had more information to share with us. She had already been talking, and people were getting a little antsy, so I went and asked Lynn if she would mind talking while we continued to eat. She said, of course, no problem. Hearing from Maria and Maria's son were next on her agenda, so she went over to ask them if they were ready to share their story with us. They had finally been able to sit down and eat with us. Maria said, well, yes. And Maria's son said, we must wait. And Lynn said, well, we need to move this along. People have things to do. We need to respect people's time. Maria's son looked at us and said, we need to respect the meal. We need to take our time and savor every bite. We need to be thankful for the food before us. We need to enjoy each other's company and celebrate together the feast before us. We wait until everyone is sitting and eating. We need to respect the meal. In Maria's country of origin, Mexico, this is very true. The gift of food, the gift of community is celebrated with every meal. We need to respect the meal. But Mexico is not the only place where communities of people celebrate life and all that it has to offer around the table. In Nicaragua, this understanding that you wait is very present. You make sure that there is food for everyone before you take the very first bite. On a mission trip to Nicaragua in 2005, the group I was with stayed out in the campo. We stayed in Managua for several days and then went out to the campo, which is out in a village, for 4 days. We stayed in a house in a very poor village. We worked in the cornfields. We removed the dead corn from the field by hand. As we drive around and see the dead corn this time of year, I can still feel it in my hands. Hard, dirty work. At the end of the first day, we came down from the field. We were hungry, we were tired, and we were filthy. As we cleaned up, note, there was no running water. So as we cleaned up with buckets filled with water from a trough that was filled with water from the river that the animals and humans used in various ways, the family who lived in the house, along with other people from the village, cooked our meal. We were so tired and so hungry and so out of our element that we got to the table, sat down, and immediately started grabbing bowls of rice and beans and filling our plates. We were laughing, talking, passing the bowls of food around. As several in our group started to lift a fork filled with food to their mouths, one of the members of our group said, wait, the table is not complete. More than one of us said, hey, we've got rice and beans and tortillas. We're happy. That's all we need. The member of our group who said, wait, said, but we don't have the whole community at our table. She then got up, went into the kitchen, and invited those who had cooked for us to come and sit with us. Then she went out into the front yard and invited the men who had driven us to the campo and who were working probably harder than we were in the cornfield to come and eat with us. Those of us from a wealthier country who have food, shelter, aplenty, saw a table filled with food and began to take it as if it only belonged to us. We did not respect the food. We did not discern if the whole community was present. We could have easily eaten all of the food, and when the people in the kitchen and the front yard came in to eat, there would have only been cold leftovers. Paul says, "For when the time comes to eat, each of you goes ahead with your own supper, and one goes hungry. For all who eat and drink without discerning the body eat and drink judgment against themselves." For all who eat and drink without discerning the body. So what does it mean to discern the body? One commentator on this text defines discerning as used by Paul as a figuring out. It can also be a coming to know or to recognize or understand something. When we gather together at the table and our elders recite these words from Corinthians, we hear that Jesus says, "This is my body that is for you." And in the same way with the cup, "Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Body that is for you, as often as you drink it, to help us discern the body, to help us figure this out, to help us know, to help us recognize, to help us understand. Let me add that the "you" here is not singular. It is y'all. Only word I know. "Do this as often as y'all drink it in remembrance of me. This is my body that is for y'all." When we hear it as a plural and realize that Paul is telling us we need to discern, we need to figure out the body of Christ, we need to understand that the bread and cup are for all believers. This bread and this cup are for the body of Christ, the body of Christ that is filled with people from all over the world, people who are good and bad, people who are rich and poor, people who are trying their hardest to wait and respect the meal, or trying to get everyone else to wait so that they can be a part of the meal, and even those of us who race right through the meal. When we stop and realize our own weaknesses and how we are accepted at the table no matter what, and then we discern that the body is bigger than you or me or all of Springhouse, when we wait and make sure that we know that all are invited to the table, Christ invites all to the table. When we figure out that "you" means y'all, then we should be overwhelmed and on our knees at the magnitude of grace that God has and continues to shower upon us. Now, the Corinthians should have known that Paul was going to get them on this. Earlier in the letter, Paul told them, "There is one bread. We who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread." How blessed we are as members of the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, for we get to gather at this table, this beautiful table that circles the world every Sunday. Every Sunday we are reminded to discern the body. Every Sunday we, y'all, are reminded to look and make sure that everyone is invited to the table. Every Sunday we, y'all, are reminded to wait, to respect the meal, and discern the grace that fills the body of Christ. Every Sunday we, y'all, should wait till everyone has what they need. After we discern, which means, you know, we should be going to the kitchen and the front yard and inviting everyone to the body of Christ, to the table. It should humble us to our knees. And after we're on our knees, we should get up and celebrate all over the world the gifts of God, of the bread and the cup, are for y'all. They're for the entire body of Christ. Respect the meal and wait. Amen.